CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It's just after 6 o'clock. It is Tuesday. Now, first thing you need to know is apparently we're going to have some really shitty weather for the rest of this week. That's what everybody's talking about. I know it's boring to talk about weather, and people always say, well, if you talk about the weather, you're a dull person, right? But my God, it's been so hot lately that I don't think anyone's even upset about this. I think we probably need a bit of rain, and we'd like it to be a bit cooler. I don't know about you. I can't even sleep when it's so hot.
Yeah, dude, it's a struggle.
Like, you just want to, and then if you turn on any kind of fan or air conditioner or anything like that, it dries you out, and it's not good. Mm. You end up waking up the next morning, and you've got. You feel all dried out, really. It's the only way to explain it or try to describe it to anybody.
We're all here. What did you hear in terms of weather? What's shitty weather?
Like apparently there's going to be rain from tomorrow and for the rest of the week.
Oof. This afternoon, in fact.
Really?
Is it today? It's already starting.
I'm at Tanda Shao.
Really?
Mm.
Okay.
Okay, it's stay-at-home weather, then it's fine.
Yeah, the bike's gone away, so I can deal with rain now, actually.
Oh, okay.
So, Pumi's here, Sia's here, Mbulelo, and Gugu.
Did you forget my and Gugu's name for a second?
No.
You stuttered again.
There was a stutter.
We all heard you.
You really think after... You two have been the... Well, certainly not as long as Pumi, but you've been the next oldest here in the room. You think I'm going to remember Mbulelo, but not you.
I wouldn't anyway. Blame you. My mother still forgets us.
Well, there you see, that's your mum.
She hasn't forgotten.
Yeah.
Like, okay, she hasn't forgotten. There's just...
A lot of us, yes.
And also, sometimes you're not the most important thing in other people's lives. I know, Sia, you hate a humbling thought. Sia hates to imagine that that's the case, but sometimes you are not the most important thing.
Not even hates.
No, the reason
to
I was stumbling a little bit is because Gugu told me that yesterday, after he had that incident over the weekend with that woman who drove into him, and he had to go and sort out the car, so he needed to go to the police station and get something. You got on your bike. I'm going to paraphrase this briefly, but he did what exactly the opposite of what they tell you you should do, and he was going quite fast on the bike. He had to go to the police station, and then the Metro Police kind of flashed him that they were on to him, and he was speeding, and they were going to need him to pull over, and he basically like gave them the middle finger, dropped two gears, and went screaming ahead and lost them.
They see me rolling
on a bike. See, yeah, this is where the rebellious part of me goes. Yes, Gugu, good work. You fuck the police, you know. And then the part of me that's like, no, we've got to be good citizens. That one's like, this is exactly the problem with South Africa and why we have so much trouble.
The other part of you is like, it's a small voice. It's not as strong as
the rebel.
Yeah,
the rebel's stronger with me, but I can see Pumi is completely unimpressed with this behavior.
No, like, dude, I'm riding on this road, and off in the distance, I just see, like, a cop jump into the road, right? And I can tell this is for me, because I know I'm speeding on this bike.
What were you doing?
So you know you're doing something wrong.
I don't know what speed I was doing, but I see her jump in.
Let the mom speak.
I approach.
You know you were doing something wrong.
Of course I was doing
so
something wrong.
So you know why the policeman... is trying
police
to stop
woman
you.
Yeah
police woman yeah is, so you know
yeah.
Police person
as I approach
police
this woman
person.
Yeah police person
I can't wait for the first transgender cop and people are like woman man police person
yeah. of the law.
Oh, watch. Anyway, so what happened? You managed to lose her?
Yeah, so as I approach, I'm
did
like,
they chase you down? Or
no, they'll never chase a bike down. You'll never catch me. That's the reason why I didn't stop. So, yeah, I slowed down. I looked at her and decided not a chance. Dropped two gears.
But you slowed down. You slowed down.
I slowed right down.
Like, just so that you could basically make it clear that you didn't give a shit about it.
Yeah.
That is just,
only to stop a kilometer, because I was going to the police station, which is like less than a kilometer away from where they were.
So you could almost see them in your rearview mirror as you stopped.
Pulled up in there like nothing was wrong.
I don't know why it's hard for me to believe that this might be the first time you're doing something like this.
Of course not.
Yeah, I knew it.
All right, now Pumi can give you a She can read you the ride.
Bless
her. Go ahead.
I knew it.
There's really no point in giving him the riot act. Mm. As you can see, this is a multiple offender.
Oof.
And has absolutely no, none whatsoever. Shred of the kind of decency that the rest of us that hold this society together have.
Mm. I'm waiting for that final parent line. Oh, please carry on.
Gugu, we are very disappointed. Are you angry?
The final parent line?
He's very disappointed.
That's it.
That's the worst. That is the worst. Yes. Very disappointed in you.
That's all. I'm not angry.
There's no point in being angry.
Just disappointed.
Just very disappointing.
Listen, there's a lot going on today. We have a hugely exciting show for you. Among other things, Wayne Duvenage, who's the CEO of Outer, is going to be joining us because he and Dudu Mieni are having a massive fight. They're squaring up. Apparently, Dudu Mieni has filed court papers suing Outer for 8 million rand, claiming it has damaged her reputation. So we're going to find out from him. Apparently, he is pissed. Apparently, she is pissed. It's going to be great. I look forward to this fight. This is one I'm actually interested in.
There was just so much going on yesterday in terms of news and activity and announcements.
Did you see that the Competitions Commission told Vodacom and MTN they have to cut their data prices by half or they'll face prosecution?
Thank you, now, Jesus.
Well, it doesn't mean it's going to happen.
It's not going to happen
really?
No, in January.
Don't get
people
excited.
People are going to get...
You just popped my bubble.
Okay,
yeah. Really? You have to do it so soon, though.
No.
Like, see, let us celebrate.
Everybody calm down. Listen to Pumi. She knows. She's been paying attention.
Too late. I'm already excited.
Tell them, Pums. Here's the Competition Commission. Listen to this. Here they spoke about this, and then Pumi can give us some insight.
And must immediately reduce prices by agreement with the commission. And as I have indicated before, we believe on the basis of evidence that there is scope for price reductions in the region of 30% to 50%. And a failure to reach this agreement within 2 months will then lead the commission considering going ahead with prosecution for excessive pricing or other exclusionary abuse before the tribunal.
Boom. All right, so this is the guy from the Competition Commission. His name is Teminkosi Bonakele.
Wait, what?
So this is going to be Vodacom and MTN pulling a Gugu on everybody. Right.
They're just basically
what's the loophole? Call it. You see, please explain
they're
that.
Gonna, they're going to pull a Google on all of us. Because first of all, they have to reach an agreement with the commission, right? So they have to all sit down and come to a place where they all agree that this is the amount we're going to reduce by, and it has to happen in the next 2 months.
Okay.
It's not going to happen.
Right. That's the first part. First hurdle. That's them slowing down like Google did.
Ooh, right. This Google analogy.
And then, failure to do so, it's the man's words, will lead to the commission having to consider
instituting
or filing.
This is not fun anymore.
So many steps.
It's at that point. It's at that point, like when Google drops his 2 gears. It's at that point that MTN and Vodacom get their billions.
And they lawyer
and
up.
And drop their 2 gears.
Oh.
To speed past.
With a ton of lawyers on board. Busy middle fingering us all.
But are they basically admitting to price fixing and going, we're going to decide?
No. This is complicated because the Competition Commission is there to make sure that people aren't abused.
It's not an oligopoly, right?
Yeah, and to stop companies that are monopolistic from... I mean, ideally, the Competition Commission should have gone after Eskom first, you know, for example, then we wouldn't be sitting in the situation we're in. But, you know, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing when it comes to the bureaucracy. And some of these institutions that are meant to be pro-poor and meant to be helping people. Anyway, I'm torn between the fact that we've obviously been abused with our data costs and our data prices. I mean, I went, 3 years ago? I went to Parliament and I actually submitted to the Communications Department. It was then the Portfolio Committee, was it? And I remember the minister at that stage, she sat there and she listened and she nodded her head. And we were saying, look, compared to other countries in the world, data is very expensive. We're a country where people desperately need data access because it's their single greatest tool for emancipation, right? Mm. And being connected to the world is not only the way to connect to your own potential market, but your way to communicate with friends, with family, with a greater network of people. And release yourself from poverty, from isolation, and a number of other things. So I remember doing this, and I'm very much on the side of cheaper data because that would help not only this business, which is my selfish reason for being there, but also it would help so many people across the world and across this country, certainly, especially in places, you know, far-flung places where they've only just recently started getting coverage and those people have been left out of the economy. Mm. What it's going to result in if we don't make data cheaper is two different levels of economic activity, one which is the old school way of doing things and the other which is the new school way of doing things. And people in that old school system who don't have access to data or can't afford it, those people are suffering enormously. So that's the one side of the argument. The other side of the argument is actually you do not want government or semi-government or quasi-government kind of institutions like the Competition Commission telling people how much or how little they can charge for things. Because
that's your capitalist heart.
Well, but Pums, you know, this leads to a situation where people have committees to decide prices for bread and decide committees for prices for seeds and decide.
I thought that they'd already dealt with Tiger Brands about the bread issue.
Oh. Well, what happened with that as well? That was also the Competition Commission, right? And I don't know that it really made that much difference in the long run. The fact is, the USSR used to eventually have four committees to decide prices. And they would just arbitrarily, because you see, the best possible system for determining the price of something is the market. What you're asking for is the collective wisdom of people. And if people say, we're prepared to pay X for a loaf of bread, then that's the price that the market's got to make the bread if they want to sell it and make a profit. Mm. If it's too expensive, people won't buy that bread. They'll find other things. Mm. If it's too cheap, then they'll go under because they can't produce it anymore at a competitive price and keep their business afloat. So I'm always nervous about when government wants to appoint commissions. But at the same time, in this case, I do think the damage is already done. We've all paid so much. If you look at what your first phone contract cost you or what data cost when you first started, yes, sis.
Ooh, the good old days of BIS.
Yes, sis.
59 yes, Rand a month.
I'll tell you something. We have seriously, and you remember, and I remember this, I'm sure that you do too, that the advertising, the huge amounts of just wallpaper advertising on every single surface they could find, for Vodacom and MTN and even later on Cell C, these guys had so much money and they were basically throwing it in our faces to show us how well they were doing out of us. Mm. Profiteering to the degree that it was absolutely vulgar. Mm. So I don't know. I'm torn between these two things because if you tinker with the one side and like Temenkosi Bonakele says, these data prices are anti-poor. So you just decide this is the price. What you could end up doing is breaking the businesses that provide that data in the first place because they do have costs. They have to put up these towers. Those towers have to be secured. I mean, they have a case. You know, there are things that cost money that they have to do. And below a certain threshold, you actually start to destroy the infrastructure if you reduce the prices so much. We don't know what those prices are because they've kept it to themselves. They might be charging us like a wounded buffalo. But the fact is, if we go too low, they can't maintain their network, they can't maintain the infrastructure, and the whole thing breaks down. That we don't want because then everybody has no data, even if you could pay millions for it. You're shaking your head?
Data. That it's you know the thing about data, data in Wi-Fi.
I needed a moment to process that. Okay, Wi-Fi, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
it's become a human right, guys. It really has. And because of that, there must be some kind of middle ground of who gets to, because really, so yes, there are infrastructure costs and there are all sorts of, understandably, right, the way that business works. But the way that South Africa's data works, and you know this more than anyone, Gareth, is compared to the rest of the world, it really, it's unconscionable. Like, the guys can't even, they don't even know how to justify it.
Yeah.
As compared to other people.
I know.
So it's like bread all over the world costs 10 cents, but here it costs 10 rand.
Well, Chris just sent me a screenshot of a Namibian newspaper, and they're selling, here's what you get.
Does that thing say Aware?
Yeah, Aware Super. And it says 3 gigs of data free, 700 megs social media free. And then it'll cost you only 53 Namibian, what are they called? Namibian dollars, are they? I don't know what the currency is there. I don't know what the currency is.
Yeah. Well, thanks like for that perspective, though, Gareth, because I didn't think of it like that. Never mind. Yeah, I was just so happy. I was like, yeah, step in, Competition Commission, sure, with pleasure. Come and sort this out.
There's always two sides, and I'm not, listen, I don't have any love for these networks. We tried when we set up this business to sit down and negotiate with all three of them. Yeah. They were all arrogant as hell. Mm. The most terrible people you've ever met in one room, all telling us, who the hell are you? What's in it for us? We're not interested. Why would people care? We don't see any reason to help. We don't see any reason to make it cheaper for people. We have no reason to help your business and to zero rate this stuff. Why don't you find someone who can pay us to do that? Is basically what they were saying.
Yeah. Gareth, it's interesting what you're saying. I think there's an elephant in the room. Generally, we know actually, for capitalism to really work, you need the state apparatus to function. You know, everybody says Singapore, Switzerland. It's because the businesses there, even though they hate it, they trust the bureaucracy that they're able to administrate. What I think an elephant, and might be an interesting thing to see feedback on, is these companies don't trust that letting these guys set a barometer is a good idea. So why work with them, you know? And then they're going to get, like you said, lawyer up and...
Well, the government is the elephant that you're talking about.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
And we've had how many ministers of communications, the portfolio has been moved around so much. I mean, I drove past the ICASA building the other day, which is now called Ivy Matsepe Kasaburi House. Okay. Oh. You remember Ivy Matsepe Kasaburi? She was a minister once, and she was a minister of communications. I mean, Faith Mutambi was once a minister of all of this, and
Alala.
She was the one who made it impossible for us to get enough bandwidth anywhere because she was meant to migrate digitally, which she still, I mean, she went by the time she left. I don't even think they've got it right now. So there's a lot going on here that's irritating and that we shouldn't have to worry about. But we're being screwed over. And remember, if you're being screwed over, the poor are getting screwed over twice as hard. Chris says, I don't think the data is too expensive. What I did wish is that it wouldn't expire. Yeah, you see, that's the kind of terms and conditions that they screw you over with as well. Good morning. Mbulelo is no Ben, but I could get used to listening to him. That was a compliment for you, Mbulelo. Very smooth. I like it. Gareth, did you notice the representation in the studio is 4-1? What? Men to women, or are you talking black to white? Because
both work.
Actually, I had to count.
That's from Cookie.
I see.
Yeah. And Gugu, according to this person, you were being a dick. This is Hermin.
Who's
on your
that?
Bike.
Give that girl.
Hermin, yeah.
Hermin, give that girl a bounce.
Hermin's probably like a cop or something. His father's a cop.
And here's someone else who wants to talk about bikes. Finally, some bike chat. Did you see the guy got pulled over at 198 kilometers?
Ooh.
Excuse, he took his wife for a breakfast run. Lol. I never speed in a car, not on purpose, but on a bike it's impossible to not want to. That's Craig.
I agree. I'm not trying to instill the fear of God in you here, Google, but I still follow Razzmatazz on Twitter just for the entertainment value. But every now and then I see some new declaration or announcement, and actually, it was yesterday when he announced that the JMPD is rolling out new types of technology. They're testing it out for the festive season, but following that, they do want to make it a norm within the JMPD. So part of what they're rolling out is number plate recognition systems. So just simply being able to run your number plate, even seeing your vehicle from afar, they'll be able to spot things like any fines you might have, is a vehicle stolen or hijacked, or is it unlicensed? As well, they're also rolling out some new breathalyzer system that will literally like print out a receipt that shows your how much over the limit you are. It will eliminate the need for blood tests, so that literally you can even have this receipt go straight into your docket. Mm. So I'm just saying.
And of course, the Minister Razmataz, you know, the Auto Act, whether or not this is implementable, it's been signed into law. So this could have implications for your license, for your ability to renew that license.
So now they'll just zap your license plate out of far.
Pumi's exasperated already, and it's only 28 past 6.
You know, Google, all of these things, ne? All of these things mean fogol.
Oh,
tell me more.
Right?
How eloquent.
The problem with not following the rules of the road, and the problem with speeding, the problem with this dangerous behavior, is that somebody will have to scrape you off the tarmac.
Oh, no. You didn't. You took it there.
Didn't need those visuals.
There's the, no, look, that's the mom speaking.
I wasn't doing 190 on the road. I was over the limit somehow.
Not today.
Yeah.
But you are emboldened to behave like that.
Mm. So you're caught in what they call a deontological dilemma here, right?
You a who?
Yeah.
D who? Yeah, just help us out there, bro. Please.
Yeah. Real quick. So you're saying, are you just worried about consequences? So there's Gareth knows this only too well, I'm sure, that there's something called consequentialism.
Do you know this?
Go on. Yeah. No, you explain this. I don't know what this is.
So are you just worried? Pumi's worried about consequences, right? Mm-hmm. Or you're saying, you're worried just about the rules and breaking the rules, right? So in deontology, we focus on what are the rules.
So have you got deontology yet?
Yeah.
What is it?
Derived from the Greek word deon, meaning duty.
Right.
Deontology is a category of normative ethical theories that encompasses any theory concerned with adherence to certain rules or duties. Jeez. I am name dropping that 3 more times in the next 3 hours.
There we go.
Explain the difference between him and Pumi in terms of this deontological theory.
So in deontological theory.
Speak English now, though.
Yeah. So you're worried, deontology says we should only be focused on strictly what the rules are. So in deontology we go,
that's what he is.
Yeah. So okay. Or we should be saying, is there a limit 60? Then we care about, he broke the rules. Now an example of deontology would be, oh, I'm poor, I stole a loaf of bread, and some people go, oh, come on, that's
okay.
But you
still stole.
But no, it's in deontology, that's wrong. So that would be called the consequentialism then, obviously you worry about the consequences of...
That's Pumi's position.
Exactly. So
Pumi is a consequentialist.
Yeah, exactly.
And Google is a deontologist.
Yeah. You're challenging strictly the rules.
And I'm a confusionist.
Yeah, you've just taken us to Mars over there.
I love this. Carry on. Yeah. No, let's ratchet this up. I like it. Good.
Yeah.
We're not talking shit this morning.
For a change. No.
All right. I just want to quickly point out, before we go to the 5 things you need to know this morning, Chris from Vintook, who sent this to us, he says the rand and the Namibian dollar is 1-1. So it costs 53 rand for 3 Gs in Namibia, 3 gigs, right? In South Africa, it costs 149 rand for 1 gig.
Which expires.
That's the difference.
That's it. I'm moving to Namibia.
Right. Morning, guys. The bureaucrats don't understand how important data is, and they're too old. Like how the US bureaucrats didn't understand the Facebook issue. That's from Luvuyo. And then, hey guys, isn't it weird? In the Epstein case, no one knows exactly how he made his millions. There's practically no money trail to where his wealth came from.
Must be data prices.
Maybe he was the major investor in Vodacom and MTN. Jeffrey Epstein. All right. Someone says, I hope Google was wearing boots, gloves, and a helmet.
Of course, always.
Yeah. I stay in Mozambique. Vodacom 2.5 gigs costs me 110 rand. Not sure how that works. Same company, but half the price. Veinand. Veinand. This is what people, these are the people's experiences, and this is what it costs them. So very, very interesting times ahead. But as Pumi says, don't get your hopes up that suddenly we're going to have cheaper data.
In 2 months.
It's not going to happen. All right, five things you need to know this morning. You want to get into some headlines?
Mm-hmm.
First, you know the Bishop's College scandal. An investigation into sexual misconduct allegations at Bishop's has found the prestigious school in Cape Town does have necessary policies and procedures in place to deal with these things. In a statement, the school found former teacher Fiona Viotti of targeting at least five pupils. So all those rumors about hundreds of boys, it was just five, according to these investigations. The school said while the investigation had been completed, further information may come to light in future. She has been accused of sexual misconduct with minors. She resigned last month. The independent investigation found no information that the school was aware of the misconduct with pupils. It also stated investigators are not able to exclusively confirm to whom Viotti had sent sexual video or photographic images. Her lawyer, William Booth, said they had solid grounds for refusing to be interviewed by the investigating team. Her father submitted a confidential letter to the parents of the boarding house, and the next thing it ends up on the front page of a newspaper. And that did happen. I think a lot of people received it. So let's see what happens. There's still more to come. But certainly this story is not done yet.
It certainly isn't. Plus, that Mallet name lives within Bishop's, as you may or may not know. There's Mallet House.
That's right.
To that point.
Wasn't the grandfather, like, he was a headmaster or something?
The family name, and of course, there's the other famous Mallet, which didn't help.
Rugby coach. Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, they always say the sins of the father should not be visited on the children, and vice versa, the sins of the children shouldn't be traced back to the father. Police have been tight-lipped after Fritz Majege Joubert allegedly murdered traditional healer Anele Hoyana.
Does it say allegedly?
It says allegedly.
Did you see the video?
This is the Citizen that says allegedly. In a statement on Monday morning, Captain Hazel Mqala explained that upon arriving at the scene at Geluksdal Farm, police found two bodies lying in a pool of blood, despite the second body presumably being that of the man they themselves had gunned down, Joubert. Before the statement was released, three videos were doing the rounds on social media. One of them pictured Fritz beating the body of Anele, while his cowering wife screamed in shock. However, there were two videos preceding it, which also appeared on Facebook. In the first, he, early on Saturday morning, can be seen filming himself walking through his house talking incoherently about how he is staying, and he's proudly South African. He then puts his arm around another man not yet mentioned in police statements.
This reporting is so problematic.
So
they're already framing him as some kind of lunatic. Like, this guy, he was incoherent to begin with in the morning. He didn't know what he was up to. What?
Listen, I hate to say it, but anyone who behaves as we are hearing this guy behaved has to have some screws loose. I mean, I'm not to say that he's in any way not culpable for this murder, but this is definitely someone who's very disturbed. Anyone who can exact this kind of violence on another person, Jesus. Anyway,
it's quite disturbing, dude.
It's not yet.
I think the worst thing about this whole story, guys, the story about this guy, this kid, and you know, there's so many parts of it that are yet to be spoken of, right? Because he feels that this evil spirit, you know, so because this guy was a sangoma, and like all of that is something that needs to be visited and unpacked. But my goodness, why are people videoing themselves doing this shit? Why are people spreading this video? And then, of all the crazy things I've heard about this story, the guy that started the viral video, right, claiming that this is his cousin, is himself in that case. He was interviewed on radio stations.
But who was filming it in the first place? Because like, that's unclear.
Was it not the frick himself?
Some of it is from a distance. He's over there talking, and this boy's holding the baby. Everything about this thing is just... And, like, the worst thing about these videos is you don't know before the story went viral, so I saw it very early in the morning, right? You don't know what's going on. So you just, you see this video, there's a face right up in front of you.
Someone else is actually...
You click on it because you're like, what's going on here? And then, like, it's a proper shit show. And now you can't unwatch it.
I know. I hate
getting videos like this. I just don't... I'm very careful about what I open. Because I know there's some stuff you can't unsee. And it's very disturbing. And we shouldn't have to see this stuff, really. I mean, I know that there's horrible stuff going on in the world. But I often think, like, what if... This is being sent around and a kid picks up their mom's phone or whatever and they have to see this. I mean, this is just... Anyway, I mean, we'll keep an eye on the story, obviously.
Dude, but the level of mental disturbedness going on around
this thing. But around this country, we've got some serious problems. There are some very, very disturbed people. A popular tweep has come under fire for starting a backer buddy campaign and allegedly not giving the money to the intended recipient to help an 89-year-old pensioner. In this year, Twitter user Temba Rumbu...
This is the guy!
Yeah, tweeted a picture of the appalling living conditions of Kako Nkumalo, who came to be affectionately known as Gogo Nkumalo. The user posted images of her one-bedroom house made of mud that was dilapidated and falling apart. The story, initially covered by one KZN News, caught the attention of many. And now... Everybody's a little bit confused by what's happened to the 90,000 rand in donations that came.
This is the same crazy guy that sent the video around.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Someone has to find him and put him in jail.
Justice.
90 grand.
No.
This is the same guy.
Well.
He's going to be trending today.
Yeah, well, I don't know how people... First of all, you know, it's so easy these days to raise money and I'm not saying it's a bad thing that we help people, but there are a lot of credulous people out there who will hand over money because they feel emotionally that they have to get involved in a story. Mm. But they don't often follow up what happens to that money. And there are also a lot of, you know, tsotsis who are going to take your money and keep it for themselves.
So they spoke to him on Power FM yesterday afternoon.
What happened?
Because he broke the, you know, and he said it was his cousin or whatever. So they phoned him to ask him how's the family, and then like 2 hours later there's like Facebook posts and the Twitter whole thing with the deceased boy's brother saying we have no idea who this guy is.
Really?
We have no idea who this guy is. He's got no authority to speak on behalf of the family. His own cousin put out a tweet saying, dude, don't do this. Why are you doing this? We don't know these people.
While Dr. Robin says, I ran into that Uber guy. He is so mentally unstable.
What?
And all the Facebook stuff shows that. I ran into him a few weeks ago. He freaked me the hell out. That's from Dr. Robin. So, wow, we've actually had a close encounter. This is scary. Gugu may drive like Evel Knievel, but it's the other chop on the road that you have to look out for.
Very true. No, that's point, on a Gugu. Bike. That is very true. It's not you. It's the chop.
All right, back to the news.
What if you are being the chop?
Yeah, well, you are by just breaking the law.
You are the chop.
Hold on. Let's backtrack here. Have any of you ever been trapped, like speed trapped?
Yes.
It happens. That's what happened to me. The only thing I did,
I tried to outrun the cops,
was just disappearing. Catch me if you can.
It's not a speed trap. It's not a trap. You're driving over the speed limit. If you were driving within the speed limit, guess what? They won't stop you.
Anyway. Back to the news, because we can't solve Gugu's problems. Talk about unstable.
His mental problems, we can do nothing about that.
South Africans will know the government's decision on e-tolls before Christmas. Oh, happy Christmas. There's your present from government. Transport Minister Fikile Mbalula said on Monday that the Johannesburg Metro Department is launching its festive season campaign on Monday. Well, it was yesterday. And the president appointed a task team earlier this year to come up with a solution for the controversial e-tolling system. The National Roads Agency has incurred a loss of 40 billion rand.
Is that all?
Since 2014. Mbalula said the matter is still before cabinet. Before Christmas, you will know. So the matter is serving before cabinet. Once cabinet has finalized the decision, we will brief you about it. So are you excited to find out, finally, whether you'll have to pay e-tolls or not? And then we'll do some more of this in the sport with Mbulelo in just a moment or two. But Lionel Messi won a record sixth men's Ballon d'Or award at the ceremony in Paris on Monday, beating Liverpool defender Virgil van Dijk to take the honours. Now aged 32, Messi got his first Ballon d'Or in, what was it, 2013 or something?
I think it's 09.
But this is his first one since 2015, yeah. And his sixth overall as he moves one ahead of his old rival, Cristiano Ronaldo, who finished third in the voting. So he actually attended the ceremony, and he went with his wife and children, and he succeeds Luka Modric, who is the Real Madrid and Croatia midfielder who won the prize last year. So those are the news stories you need to know about this morning. While we're on this, do you want to give us some other sport?
Yeah, let's get into it, right? Gareth, we've got Cricket South Africa at the moment on fire. The house is on fire. You know, Cricket South Africa, I've always compared to dating a model that drinks too much, Gareth. I don't know if you've had the situation where you've dated a good-looking girl.
Yeah.
So it looks good when you have her on your arm at a restaurant. You
and,
know,
she,
at a party.
And she drinks too much?
She drinks too much at like family events, you know? Because superficially, it's great. At a restaurant, you've got a stone cold stunner with you. But then when you go home and it's a family event, she's getting drunk, she swears in front of your grandmother. That's what Cricket South Africa's like. Because in-house right now, you've got these guys, they've tried to ban journalists from reporting about Cricket SA's mess, right? Five of our major journalists and muzzle them.
I saw Prof. Jonathan Janssen talking about this.
Gary, I need the JJ Tabane gif. It's a mess!
It's a chamors.
It's a mess!
It's a complete mess. So, look.
So Cricket South Africa is still living in the 1970s when they think they can ban journalists?
And their explanation for it, Gareth, it could have come straight out of Stalin's mouth. They're saying, we wanted to sit down with the journalists because we're not happy about how you're reporting about us. Listen, in Nanzania and Tabangmoro, they shouldn't be allowed to run a bath. Forget about running something that's meant to be world class like Cricket South Africa. It has become an absolute mess because they revoked the journalists and then gave it back their accreditation, if you can imagine such
a thing. So who's in charge there at the moment?
So it's these two clowns. I mean, Nenzani's been, you know, he's the president, and then you've got Tabangmoro, who's the CEO.
And he's new, hey?
Yeah. He's, I mean, relatively new. But here's the problem is, our selection panel, so cricket's pretty easy. You should always know who's selecting the guys, because in sport you need what? It's a bottom line business, accountability. So if we lose, we know who the selectors are. We've got the biggest tour that's come to South Africa in probably 5 years. England are coming here. We don't know who our selection panel is. Do you know how rudimentary that is? And these guys, Nenzani in particular, is just, he's what Mafix might call a bunch of losers.
Oh, right. They don't know how to select, and they're clearly incompetent.
And now they're banning, and now it's the five, you know, these prominent journalists, it's their fault, ban them and then unban them. And you've got to go and take a look at Cricket South Africa trying to explain their way out on Twitter. It is shambolic. We'll keep an eye on that story.
What about Australia and Pakistan while we're talking about cricket?
While we're at it, once again, I called him the guy that punched Joe Root, who we absolutely, we love that. We love that about David Warner. Love him or hate him, second test, the Aussies wrapped up a 2-0 victory, 589 for 3 declared. But the cool stuff there was that the two guys that cheated against South Africa, will remember all Sandpapergate. I'm sure everybody remembers that.
Yeah, it's very embarrassing for Australia.
Very, and you got to love it. So the two guys, you may remember them as the guys that cried like human babies when they got caught. But they both created history yesterday. David Warner, 335 not out. I mean, that was just an unbelievable innings. And then Tim Payne should have just let him go for the record, 400, but T-Pain's a hater. And then the other one.
Hey? What did you say?
It's not T-Pain, the producer. It's Tim Payne, the cricket captain.
And who's the hater?
Him, T-Pain.
Oh, yeah. I see.
And then Captain Steve Smith, so he's Captain Cheat. He was the one really sobbing. Oh, he was sobbing when they got caught for Sandpaper.
I remember that.
Do you remember that? He was sobbing like a human baby.
Horrible.
It was. It's embarrassing for him and his family. But he went past seven. He was the fastest man past 7,000 runs yesterday, which is an incredible achievement.
So are they allowed back into the international community here? Are we forgiving them?
We're not forgiving them, but you know how it goes. Anybody with talent, we tolerate more. People that are talented.
So we allow them some leeway.
So they will welcome back. So anyway, just quickly, he went past 7,000 runs. He broke a 73-year-old record, being the fastest man ever in Test cricket to get to 7,000 runs. And he went past Australia's second greatest batsman, Donald Bradman.
All right. We did mention the Ballon d'Or. So do you want to wrap up with that for us quickly? Anything that you'd like to add? Because Lionel Messi is, he's indisputably one of the greatest footballers of all time ever. Someone once said that we're so lucky to be living in the era of Ronaldo and Messi. And that continues to be true. He doesn't seem to be fading away at all.
Gareth, it's a joke that we still have it as a contest, right? While he's alive and fit and playing, don't make it a contest. Save the money on the event. Give it to orphans, children that need it, because he should be winning every year. It's not close. It's like giving a lady an option between me and Idris Elba, right? Who are you going to pick? There's no contest. So Leo Messi, the greatest, and Megan Rapinoe winning as the greatest female footballer for 2019. All
right. Very, very good. Now, on the line, we've got Wayne Duvenage, who's the Chief Executive Officer of OUTA, the organization undoing tax abuse. If you were keeping up with the news yesterday afternoon, you would have seen former South African Airways board chairperson Dudu Mieni, who has been unavailable in court every time that any case has been brought up. She made it clear that she was going to file court papers suing OUTA for 8 million rand, claiming it has damaged what is obviously her excellent reputation. This is another development in the bitter battle between OUTA and Dudu Mieni in the Pretoria High Court. Now, we want to get to the bottom of this, and we want to talk to the guy who's really been spearheading the action.
SMS me, Chief, and I will get
back. Oh, here he is. Yeah. Chief yes, Executive listen, Officer please, of OUTA yeah. joins us on the line. Oh, well, we hope to tell us his side of things now. And OUTA wants the court to declare Mieni a delinquent director due to the airline's dire financial situation. Well, while we're trying to get Wayne on the line, Pumi, you have some opinions on this. Go on, launch
have
straight
Have you ever
in.
Known me not to have an no. opinion?
Well, that's why I like having you around. Go on.
Sir, we've been watching almost for the past, 3 years now? Every conceivable shit show in boardrooms.
Yeah.
Unfolding. Left, right, and center. We see it at the SOEs, and we see it in private sector.
Right.
And everybody talks about accountability. And, right, that's what the board is there for.
Sure. Someone has to carry the can.
The chairperson being the person, as it says, who convenes it, right? But there are other people there. There's an entire board of people who are either agreeing or disagreeing. And every single, well, not every single one of the meetings, but most of these meetings are minuted.
Right.
And every board member's objection and all sorts of things are minuted. Right. So.
All right.
We've just been brought up.
And you're saying there are more people that need to also be asked.
I think if we look at what we're watching with the Zondo Commission, right? Mm. We all were hoping that Jacob Zuma would be strung up on a tree. But as this thing unfolds, we're more and more people going, oh my God, there are so many more people. The rod runs deep, da, 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 da. But we don't hold, we want scapegoats. Well, we're not holding everybody accountable.
But it's undoubtable. And Wayne, thanks
Hello,
for joining
Wayne.
Us this morning. How are you?
I'm well, very well. Nice to be with you guys.
Good. So Dudu Mieni, I mean, we're going to talk about what Pumi was inferring in a moment, but I want to first hear from you. How do you feel about the fact that Dudu Mieni says you are ruining her reputation?
I mean, it's a joke, seriously. I mean, Dudu Mieni ruined her own reputation many years ago, certainly high for her period at SAA. She's done it while she was in the board at Mthlatuzi, your water board, and other areas. So, you know, we think it's a joke, but we'll defend that matter. We heard yesterday she'd filed papers of defamation against us, wanting 8 million rand. Well, we'll see. I've seen the tweets that she's referring to. We've already got our legal views back on that. It's a very defendable case. We're extremely when it comes to, saying what we do say on social media. We push the envelope, but it's all above board.
Well, at least you've heard from her, because for the longest time she was stuck in some part of KZN, unable to get here. She didn't have taxi money,
yeah.
Then she was sick. Now suddenly she's got a reputation that's worth 8 million rand. It's incredible how that wheel's turned.
Yeah, and she's got money. She came personally to lay those charges in the High Court in Gauteng. So this is quite interesting because she didn't have money to come to court a couple of months ago. But now she's here, so she's obviously got a windfall. Somebody's helped her, maybe. But anyway, it's quite interesting, actually.
No.
Wayne, tell us, so before we, because this lawsuit that she's filing around the tweets and also, I suppose, as a reaction to yesterday's judgment, just for our listeners, tell us a little bit about the judgment that came back yesterday.
So we filed to have it declared a delinquent director. This case started 2 years ago. The various lawyers that filed the various applications and our various pleas, that had all taken place. And then in the middle of this year, ENS dumped Dudu Mnini as her lawyers for whatever reason. We don't know what that is. And then she had to get new lawyers. And the case was set down for this year in October. And it took a long time. It took 2 years ago, 18 months ago, to actually get the court to secure a full month, because this is a case which is heard with witnesses are on the stand. It's an actionable case that cross-bank examination takes place. And then what we call the filibustering started, the slowing down of the process. Then these interlocutory cases, so these are cases within cases, started to be filed by her saying, oh, I've got new lawyers, we don't have time. Now, the courts are very clear on this. You know, if you keep getting new lawyers and you want to buy time, you just get yourself a new set of lawyers. You can't keep doing that. Secondly, then she said that she wanted the whole board joined, because it's not just her, it's the whole board. And then she lost that interlocutory as well. And the other matter, yeah, so it was a changing of her plea. It was bringing the whole board, and then yesterday she argued in court that Arta has no standing. I mean, we've been fighting matters on behalf of the public to save public money being wasted in state and institutions for a long time. So the judge will rule on that. She heard the case yesterday, and she'll rule on that shortly. I mean, we can't see her winning that one either. So three interlocutory cases have been heard. Two have been won by us. Once these are put aside, the court has set aside the full term next year, that is starting in the last week in January, for a number of weeks to hear all the arguments from the various players. Wolf Mayer, there's Sylvain Bosk, there's Nico Besaidenhout, Cynthia Simple. All of these people will be in court to testify, as well as Dudu Mnini, if she comes, and others to have her declared as the dealing director. We want her removed from the ability to sit on boards, to sit in these high positions in the future.
Wayne, I understand this, and I think it's terrific that you've pursued this case despite every boulder being pushed into the road to stop you guys. She surely isn't the kind of person who would seriously be considered for a directorship anyway, considering her track record. Who are these boards who appoint people who clearly have such a bad record?
Well, she's been on 17 boards over the last period of time. She's currently on 4, we believe. When we started this match, you must remember Jacob Zuma was in power, Dudu Mnini, and a number of individuals get moved from board to board. Once their time's up, they get another board, and they just continue to plunder away and behave in a manner that they treat these state and institutions as their own piggy banks. And that's the type of stuff that we've got to prevent. Now, things are obviously very different now. I don't know who would touch her, but that's not the point. The point is that if she is declared a delinquent director, even of the Jacob Zuma Foundation, she couldn't sit on that board or be its chair, which I think Jacob Zuma would keep her there if he could. Well, that's even going to be something that has to change. So we have to take these matters seriously. And they are, it's a long-run case. You know, these don't happen overnight. And I think we need to do a lot more of this in South Africa. There are a lot of people that have to be held accountable for their past transgressions.
I agree with you, and Pumi was making this point when we were just getting you on the line earlier. What about the other people who were on the board at the time, just at SAA, and there are obviously many other state-owned enterprises? Are you going after Dudu Mnini almost as a kind of first move and hoping that there'll be others, or are we going to look at the rest of these people in time?
We've noticed there are a couple of other dealing with director cases, but not board on applications, more so than in action like we have. There were a couple last year or this year. What we're doing here, guys, for me is the more you take on as individuals, because you can't treat a whole board dealing with directors. It's an individual, and each person has their own case to argue. and it becomes very expensive when you go after individual after individual. So we've started out with Dudumnyeni, and then from this comes a lot of other information. But what we have done, Gareth, we have set up a meeting with the SA board. We recently met with the Eskom chairperson, Jabu Mabuza, to ask them, as the heads of these institutions, why aren't they doing their job in taking the previous directors to task and declaring them delinquent directors? Because you must remember, they've got the minutes of the meetings. They've got the signed contracts. They're so close to the action that took place. And it's actually their role in law. If they are aware of this type of conduct, it is their duty to take those previous directors to account. So what we are doing at the same time is asking them to do their job and hold those directors to account as well.
Because the thing that was most interesting for me about this case was exactly that nobody else seems to do that, right? And then we see what happened. What's the sugar company? Hewlett recently.
Yeah. Tongaat Hewlett,
right? CSA, you're talking about CSA. CSA's annual reports are a shit show. Like, all these directors everywhere, nobody holds them accountable. And they all get in a room and make decisions.
Yeah.
And here we have this one person who, in her own right, you know, is a mess to begin with. Yeah. But I think that for me, there's so many pieces to this puzzle, and it feels a little bit like we're taking this is the route, and then everybody else gets moved around and we all forget about everybody else who was part of the mess that's become SAA.
You are absolutely correct, Rumi, and we need more of this. Delinquent director cases are few and far between. This will be a precedent-setting one because of the extent of the matter that we're doing here. But I agree with you 100%. The board members of Tongaat,
Old Mutual.
So, I mean, there's a number of these companies, Steinhoff, and a number of them. These guys need they must not sit on boards and must not hold senior positions in other companies. But what we're asking those boards, those senior executives that currently sit in those company boards, they've got to take that action. I mean, this is a costly case for us, and our supporters fund these matters, and we can't take everyone on. But the boards must do this work, and if they do start doing it, then people will start sitting up and saying, hey, if I act out of line, I could be struck off the role to sit on any board in future.
And Wayne, I'm aware that you have to go, but I also think it's worth adding in here that if Dudumnyeni hadn't been so ornery every step of the way, she might not have been the first person you went after, but she made it so egregious and so obvious that she was at the spearhead of much of the state capture nonsense that was going on, and a clear dereliction of duty on her part, and an arrogance that accompanied it, which just made it impossible for us to not want to see her brought to book over all of this, right?
Absolutely, Gareth. You know, Dudumnyeni at one stage was headlines almost on a weekly basis. And then, you know, you have this headlines today, gone tomorrow. And then she rears again for another conduct and another misconduct. Just went on and on and on. So you're quite right.
All right, well, listen, very good to talk to you, and good luck with this. And as you say, costly exercise. If people want to join Outer, by joining Outer, you can also make donations, and then they can pursue these kinds of actions on behalf of the public, because these are state-owned enterprises, which means your tax money is paying for them already. Rather pay Outer some money to make sure that your tax money doesn't get spent in the wrong places. And it sounds like there's a carnival going on where you are. Are you standing in a games arcade or something, Wayne? Where are you?
No, I'm just having a meeting at a restaurant here before going to full day's work.
All right.
Morningside.
Good luck.
Okay, Gareth.
Thanks so much, Wayne.
No problem. Take it
easy. Bye. You're Wayne Duvenage, who is with Outer, the organization undoing tax abuse. You can find out more by going to them on social media or outer.co.za. Find them all over the place. Yeah, this Dudumnyeni, hey, sure.
She was the, you know, she was the soft, exposed part to Jacob Zuma. So she was the person that, and you know, as Wayne reminds us, that when they started this case, Jacob Zuma was still in power and unmovable at the time. Mm-hmm. And they needed, everybody needed ways to get rid of this guy. So Dudu was a soft target.
She did herself no favors. There wasn't a single time where I felt shame. this woman deserves a little bit of space. She's just another person. Maybe she was the most arrogant person we could find in state-owned enterprises. And whenever it came to any accountability, she was like middle finger, like Gugu on his bike.
Ooh, Gareth, you know state-owned enterprises everywhere in government. Have you never been in a home affairs queue? The lady behind the window has arrogance.
It's their
like
system.
It's just the way that they are.
It's their system.
It's the way that the lady behind the window, you're just like, you have no power. You and the security guard are at the exact same level, and they are all exerting the little power they have on you.
Sorry, sis, I'm going to lunch. So we hang on two.
And that window goes.
Oh, it's open.
All right. Here is a song that has got 277 million views already. Yeah, and I haven't heard of it, so I thought we'd all have to be exposed to it at the same time. Are you ready for the next hour of this morning's very busy show? We've got a lot to get through. And Sia and I want to tell you about something interesting we'll be doing a little later on today. Plenty of stuff to talk about. Pumi Mashiko is here. We've got Mbulelo Tinta as part of the show this morning, Gugu Masuku, and Siyasangweni. So it's a busy day, it's a busy show. Here's Tones and I with Dance Monkey.
Cliffcentral.com.